in complete dependence, dear friends, upon the Lord to help us. I would ask your prayerful attention this morning to the chapter we read in the prophecy of Daniel, chapter 6, and the second part of verse 16. Daniel chapter 6, and the second part of verse 16. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, Thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. The whole verse reads, Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, Thy God, whom thou servest continually, He will deliver thee. This account of Daniel being lowered into the lion's den is well known, isn't it, to you children. It's perhaps a very attractive and favourable account in the Bible to you. Many books with illustrations have been prepared regarding this account, even for the very young. They're only the imaginations, of course, of those who prepare those pictures as to what it was like. The ones I've looked at never depict Daniel as a very old man. Daniel was an old man. He was taken into captivity when he was young, yes, perhaps of the order of about 10 or 11 years. Of course, he had an intelligence which the king of Babylon knew and recognized. It was now 70 years later. In the first year of Darius, the king of the Medes and Persians. So Daniel will be of the order of between 80 and 90 years old. We read in the days of David of a man named Barzillai, who said he was very, very old and weak, and he was only 80. So Daniel was perhaps older than he was. But the Lord had still given Daniel health and strength and wisdom. And when Darius and the Cyrus became the kings of the Medes and Persians, when Babylon, the kingdom of Babylon was destroyed, it was recognized what a wise man Daniel was. Now, this account of Daniel being lowered into the lion's den is no isolated event, is it? Like all events, they're surrounded by other occasions, other events which have an effect and lead to them and so forth. And this did not come about by chance. Daniel himself, in the reign of the previous, or the last king, should I say, of Babylon, the son of Nebuchadnezzar, whose name was Belshazzar, we read how Daniel had a vision, and that vision was of the conquest of the Babylonian Empire. And the Medes and the Persians, their name, would come and rule the earth. And that would then be followed by the power of Greece, the Greek Empire. Oh, how we read, don't we, how everything concerning the nations is in the hand of God. That dream of Nebuchadnezzar, which Daniel interpreted earlier, of the kingdoms, one of gold, then of silver, and then of iron and brass, and everything, all the time. All the time was in the Lord's hand. And the prophecy of the coming of the kingdom of God through Jesus Christ, which would grow and fill the earth. Nothing happens by chance, even today. Well, when we look at the kingdoms, the nations of the earth today, as much to give us fear and concern, isn't there? The instability and the powers that the various leaders of the world seem to have as they rise up one against another. They're subject. They're subject to the divine purpose of God, as it was in the days of Daniel. Well, Darai, we have, don't we? Two main characters in this portion we've read this morning. We have Daniel, of course. And we have this other one, King Darius. Now we read that Darius was 62 years old when he came to reign. Here in over the kingdom, which included now Babylon. And he perceived the wisdom that was in Daniel. We read at the beginning of this chapter that Daniel was preferred by Darius because of an excellent spirit that was in him. And Darius appointed 120 princes, people with power over his kingdom, to rule locally on his behalf. And over those 120 princes, he had three presidents. And of those three, he chose Daniel to be the excellent one of them. And the king thought to set Daniel over the whole realm, over the whole kingdom. So Darius made his choice, a wise choice. But those princes and those presidents, they hated Daniel. Daniel wasn't the same as they were. They were of the kingdom of the Medes and Persians. Daniel was of the captivity of Judah. You know, when we have so much today about what is called anti-Semitism, hatred of the Jews, we read it was way back here, over 2,500 years ago. Not because Daniel was wicked or evil or had risen against them and was their enemy, no. Because he was of the tribe of Judah, of God's chosen national people. And they decided that they would be rid of him. Oh, the evil that rises, doesn't it, in the hearts of people because of the hatred of one and another who are different to them. Now, they tried to find fault with Daniel in his rulership, but they couldn't. If there was ever an example of someone, as Jesus said, on his occasion when he was tempted, do we give tribute to Caesar or not? Jesus said, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's. Render to God the things that are God's. And Daniel is a prime example of that. He rendered to the king, yes, even Nebuchadnezzar, in which he had rule and of authority in Babylon. The things which were of that nation, he rendered faithfully to them. But he always rendered to God the things that were God's. Even from a young age, when he would not eat of the food that was given to him because it was not in accordance with the law of his God. Oh, Daniel was one who feared God, and so he was hated. And so they sought to find occasion against Daniel on the grounds that he worshipped God. And they very subtly put together this plan, this scheme, that would make Darius like a god. They came and put before him a proposed petition, a proposed law, that if anyone should ask any petition, that means if anyone should pray unto any god or man other than Darius himself the king for 30 days, they would be cast into the den of lions. Now Darius, hearing this, he agreed to it. He was tempted. Oh, it would boost his pride. It would exalt himself amongst the people that he was as a god for 30 days. And so Darius, through the pride of his heart, being deceived by the intention of these, his princes and presidents, he agreed to the law being made. And of course, this law applied to Daniel as well. But Daniel was a praying man. Every day he prayed unto God. And he continued to do so. And so they accused Daniel before the king. Daniel had broken the law. And the sentence of breaking the law was to be cast into the den of lions. In other words, death. For no one could escape those hungry lions. Poor Darius. We read he was sore displeased with himself. He'd been taken in. He'd been deceived. He'd been tempted. And through the desire of the pride of his own heart, he'd fallen. He'd fallen for this trick. He'd fallen to sign this law. He would now do everything he could to remove Daniel from beneath the sentence of that law. But he couldn't. He couldn't turn the clock back. And the law of the Medes and Persians is what was signed by the king stood fast. It could not be changed. So Darius had to succumb, having laboured all that day to deliver himself, Daniel, from the sentence under the law. He gave permission for Daniel to be lowered into the lion's den. And as they were to lower Daniel into the lion's den, Darius said unto Daniel, "Thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee." Was Darius one with great faith in God? I don't think he was at this time. But it was his only hope of Daniel being delivered, one whom he honoured and respected, one who was a great help to him in the running of the kingdom. His only hope for Daniel to be spared was Daniel's God to perform for him. "Thy God, whom service continually, he will deliver thee." What a hope. He was hoping against hope. Because that night, when he went back to his own palace, he did not rest, did he? He would not eat. He would not drink. He could not sleep. He doubted. He doubted whether that would happen. Because in the morning when he got up, he would say, and he did say, at the mouth of the, or at the stone which covered the lion's den, Is thy God able to save thee, deliver thee from the mouth of the lions? Then he heard Daniel say that the Lord had sent his angel and shut the lion's mouth. Darius then rejoiced, didn't he? Daniel was taken up. And the testimony of Darius, oh, what he then proclaimed. I make a decree that in every dominion that men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. He is the living God, steadfast forever, his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. He glorified God. You know, dear friends, Darius found mercy, didn't he? Oh, he wasn't brought to the depth of what he feared. His own foolishness, his own pride and earthly desires and for his own good had brought another to the brink of death. Oh, how it burned within him that night. But the Lord was gracious, and he brought Darius to declare the glory of God. You know, dear friends, is there an example here for us, for you and me? Have we ever known in our lives a time when we've perhaps decided upon something, a course of action, something which we've agreed to, and it's because of, oh, it would be the good for us, satisfied our ego, for our pride, to uplift us, for our earthly good. And that which we've agreed or done or said or whatever it might have been has had a great adverse effect upon another. Upon one who perhaps we honour and we esteem, perhaps we love them for the truth's sake. Even a loved one, maybe naturally, someone we have associated with and respect in this life. Oh, we've been tempted, we've been tried, and we've fallen. Looking at our own earthly heart and our pride and our good and not considered, in our ignorance, what the outcome would be. You know, dear friends, that will bring us very low, won't it? It brings our heart into despair. We cannot change it. We cannot turn the clock back. We may try and overturn the thing which is now done and taking place. But we've got no power. It's in conjunction with others. And we've got no power over them. Dear friends, you can't eat and sleep in those conditions, can you? Your heart is so in despair, so troubled. And you might say, with a nominal belief, as Darius here had a nominal belief, only God can deliver. Oh, Darius says God will deliver. He said it almost in despair that, oh, God must deliver. But that's the only way this sinful matter can be overcome. And all that night, says Darius, all the time this is going on, is God able? Is God able to do it? Is God able to overturn my foolishness, my sinfulness? Is God able to put right which I have caused to be so much wrong? Oh, dear friends, what regret there is, isn't there, in our hearts? We have to depend on God, don't we? Even though we doubt. Oh, we haven't got faith within us to any strength, have we? But God is merciful. God is gracious. And dear friends, God can even turn those things into which we have fallen, for the good of our souls, to bring forth honour and glory to his name. Oh, Darius, dear friends, his dreadful circumstances, they were sanctified, weren't they, to the blessing of his soul. That he made a decree that, oh, that everyone was to honour God in his kingdom. Now, dear friends, if the Lord appears for you in that matter where you have sinned, and the adverse effect has been so strong upon another as a consequence of your sin, when the matter is put right, and it doesn't work out as you expected it would do, on account of what you've said and done, or whatever the circumstance, then do give God the glory. Do give him all the praise. Oh, the awe. Shall I say, lack of faith, your doubts and your fears, is overcome, and turn that was evil for good. Oh, the Lord keep us from being taken in as Darius was. But if we do fall, oh, help us to look unto the Lord for his mercy, for his grace, to deliver the one who was affected, and to turn it about for good, even that we may glorify him. These are lessons we find, aren't they, in these characters of the Old Testament. But let us look at Daniel. He was one who feared God. He was one, as I said earlier, who lived to the honour and glory of God. Oh, how the Lord used him. The excellent spirit was in him. But he was hated for the truth's sake. And when Daniel knew, oh, that this writing had been signed, when he knew that this law, which could not be overturned, had been written, and he would be subject to it, why, Daniel went into his house, his windows being open in his chamber towards Jerusalem. He kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as he did aforetime. What an example is Daniel. You know, dear friends, we don't read in the accounts of Daniel of what he did every day of his life, do we? Yes, in his young days he was taken from Jerusalem to Babylon, and there he became a person of authority under Nebuchadnezzar. There he interpreted dreams, and oh, he interpreted the writing on the wall for Nebuchadnezzar's son Belshazzar. And but different, there were just a couple of incidences, weren't they, in the life of Daniel. We do not know what Daniel did every day of his life, except this one thing. He prayed 3 times a day, every day. And dear friends, when this law was passed, it didn't detract David, it didn't detract Daniel from such a blessed thing as prayer. His chamber, his windows were open in his chamber toward Jerusalem. Why Jerusalem? Well, Daniel knew the scriptures, didn't he? Why, we find that when Solomon built that temple, and after he'd prayed, Solomon had prayed, the Lord came and acknowledged the prayer of Solomon and filled that temple with his glory. Solomon had said, yet if they shall bethink themselves in the land whither they were carried captives, and repent, and make supplication unto thee in the land of them that are carried them captives, and say, we have sinned, and have done perversely, we have committed wickedness, and so return unto thee with all their heart and with all their soul, in the land of their enemies, which led them away captive, and pray unto thee toward this land, and thou gavest, which thou gavest unto their fathers, the city which thou hast chosen, and the house which I have built for thy name. Then hear thou their prayer, and their supplication in heaven thy dwelling place, and maintain their cause, maintain their right, as the margin says. Oh, you turn to Daniel chapter 9, and you see Daniel's prayer of forgiveness, Daniel's prayer of confession for forgiveness. You know, Daniel chapter 9 is so similar, isn't it, to David's Psalm of 51, where he prayed for forgiveness of God in his sins. Daniel did not exalt himself, even though he was of an excellent spirit, even though the Lord had helped him. What was the time that Daniel prayed that prayer of a confession? It was in the first year of Darius. It was at the same time as this. Daniel confessed the sins of his people and of his own self, praying that the Lord belongs mercies and forgivenesses, though we have rebelled against him. He prayed, O Lord, incline thine ear and hear, open thine eyes, behold our desolations. We do not present our supplications before thee for our righteousnesses, but for thy great mercies. O Lord, hear, O Lord, forgive, O Lord, hearken and do. Daniel was a praying sinner. Daniel looked towards Jerusalem, the temple, but that was broken down. It wasn't there, was it? It was in desolation. But in faith and in spirit, Daniel looked to God. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. Oh, what an example Daniel is, isn't he? As the Apostle Paul wrote to the Philippians, be careful, be full of care for nothing, but in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. And isn't this how Daniel prayed? Daniel, with his looking towards Jerusalem, kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as he did aforetime. How could he thank God for this threatening of his death? This being thrown into the lion's den? This great trouble which is now before him? No, he couldn't give thanks for that. But he gave thanks for his God. It was a prayer hearing and answering God. That nothing was too hard for his God. Oh, such as Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego, when they were threatened to be thrown into that fire. Oh, how they looked to God, didn't they? They said, we will not obey thy word, Nebuchadnezzar. They committed themselves to God in faith, that he would do whatever was his will, and he delivered them from that burning fiery furnace, didn't he? And now Daniel, oh, in prayer, a prayer of faith, thanking the Lord, oh, for his power, for his mercy, that he was a God of mercies, of forgiveness. He would hearken and he would do. He rested in the power of his God. Rested in God's love. Oh, dear friends, what an example when we're in trouble, isn't it? Still to pray earnestly with thanksgiving. And as what did Paul say, in the peace of God, that passeth all understanding, shall rule your hearts and mind by Christ Jesus. Well, they came and they took Daniel. He didn't resist, did he? He didn't retaliate. He didn't raise objection. He didn't raise any petition, as we would perhaps naturally in the a cause of such injustice. They took him to the mouth of the lion's den and lowered him down. Rolled that great stone upon it. The king sealed it with his seal that it could not be moved without his permission. And there Daniel was, in the midst of those lions. And they were as calm as a lamb. They were hungry. They were deliberately kept hungry, so that they would kill anyone who was put before them. But as Daniel witnessed to Darius, the Lord hath sent his angel and hath shut the lion's mouth. Now, dear friends, you notice here with Daniel that he was not delivered from the lion's den. He had to go into it. He was delivered from the consequence, which was the lion's mouth, that which would bring sure and certain death upon him. That was his deliverance from sure and certain death. And so they took Daniel up out of it. And he lived and prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. Now, dear friends, Daniel's God is our God. Oh, for faith to live our lives in the service of God. Daniel was of a right spirit, trusting in God, all his days serving the Lord his God. Darius recognized that. And it because Daniel served his God continually, he said, The Lord shall deliver thee from the lions, thou God whom thou servest continually. Now, dear friends, that's to be our exhortation, isn't it? To serve the Lord continually. Not to be deceived, not to be turned about, but to commit all our way unto the Lord, to trust in him at all times, to obey his voice. Yes, we have to acknowledge things of our country and of our nation, of the rules and regulations. Yes, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, but to God the things that are God's, and not to deviate from it. And then in the times of trouble, oh, those prayers would be poured out before him, in thanksgiving for all his goodness, his power and his might. Oh, that alone can save us. Dear friends, he will appear. And so there's this spiritual aspect of these portions, aren't there? Dear friends, we shall have to come into the grave because we're of the earth earthy. That judgment upon Adam, that to thou of the dust thou art, to dust thou shalt return. We shan't be delivered from that. We shall have to go into the grave. We shall have to die physically. But our souls, oh, to be delivered from the power of the grave. Oh, as Daniel was here delivered physically from the power of that den, which was the lions themselves. Oh, to be delivered from the power of the grave, which is the sentence and power of sin. Oh, to destroy our souls, that we be in that dreadful place of torment forevermore. Well, what did Paul write to the Corinthians? As he was testifying of the power of the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ to those that believed in him, to those that served him, to those who trusted in him, to those whom he had pardoned their sins. Dear friends, they are of an excellent spirit. That's the Spirit of God that has testified of his love and mercy to their soul. No, they shall die. But, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God is our thanksgiving, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, dear friends, our prayers, as we pour out our hearts before the Lord, are to be with thanksgiving, aren't they? Thanksgiving to the praise and glory and honour of what Christ hath done for the saving of our souls. Ever to confess our sins, trusting in him at all times. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labour is not in vain in the Lord. We're to press on, aren't we? Press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling of God. Through all that may come upon us in our earthly life, we're ever to be looking unto Jesus, through which we gain the victory over the power of sin, over Satan. Oh, what a mighty foe he is. As Peter says, going about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. But no, we have the victory against him through what Christ the Lord has suffered, bearing the sins of many. Oh, dear friends, what a mercy to have bared our sins. And that's the excellency of our spirit, isn't it? To believe in him at all times, to trust in him at all times, to know our Jesus crucified, to by far excels all things beside. And to look without fear, even at the death of our bodies, that we shall rise with him again unto eternal life. Oh, what a resurrection that was, wasn't it, of Daniel from that den of lions. Delivered as it were, they said, into death, but raised again. Oh, to prosper in the reign of Darius and the reign of Cyrus the Persian. Oh, to prosper in that glorious resurrection into the reign of Christ Jesus our Lord for ever and ever. Dear friends, he is our hope. The God whom we serve continually, called by grace into the knowledge of his love, and nothing can separate us from, and to walk in love as Christ hath loved us. God, who thou servest continually, is able to deliver thee from the lions. Dear friends, he can deliver us and shall deliver us from all that rises against us, the trials of our faith in this life, and in the hour of article of death, deliver us from the consequence which would be of our sins, if Christ hath not died for us. Then we're to praise and give him all the glory, aren't we? Oh, do not turn about. Look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. There's one word which just comes to my mind. It's in the book of Psalms, and it's the end of that lovely Psalm 37. The salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them, because they trust in him. God, whom thou servest continually, is able to deliver thee from the lions. Amen.